So I wonder this morning, what keeps you up at night? What makes you squirm a little bit? I have a sense that for all of us, there's something or some things that make us uncomfortable, perhaps even to the point of avoidance. There are some things we just rather not encounter or engage if we don't have to. This morning, we're continuing this series related to biblical reality shows with an acknowledgement that each one of us has perhaps some fears or some anxieties at different times. When I was planning this series, I remembered the television show that had capitalized on those common fears of average people like you and I. Did anyone ever see Fear Factor? Remember that television show from a while back? It was on from like 2001 to 2006 and made a revival in 2012. The concept was simple. Testing and showcasing your fears and your strength based on stunts and on dares. There were three stunts that you had to do. The first one was about physical endurance. Could you jump out of a building or hang from a helicopter? The second stunt had to do with some mental challenge. What could you eat or deal with animals or retrieve out of a vat of animals? Snakes and spiders had quite a lot of airtime on this stunt. And the final one had to do with action movies. Could you recreate a scene from an action movie dealing with heights or water or vehicles like this picture here? I think most of the people who watched this show watched with some gratitude that it wasn't them going through these fearful scenes and perhaps a bit of uncomfortability, particularly when it came to their particular discomfort or anxiety. They were over the top, these scenes, ways in which folks were supposed to address their fears head on and be able to conquer them. They were indeed the fears and phobias of men. But I'm not sure they were all of the fears and phobias. I think that just as many people fear child abduction as spiders. And just as many people have fears related to loneliness and abandonment than have fears of heights or claustrophobia. A study from Chapman University recently found that Americans' worst fears, wonder if these are any of yours, involve walking alone at night, having your identity stolen, having to speak in public, is a common fear as well. Sorry to put you on the spot there. Also, the internet was a great concern to folks related to their fears. 11% of Americans felt not safe putting their information out on the internet. And 21% had some concerns and anxieties that someone was collecting their information and might not be faithful with the ways in which that information was used. I wonder how many of those fears and anxieties resonate with us today as we continue to function day in and day out. Many of us face fears and need to continue to function, and this is the story of Gideon. From the book of Judges, we started to hear his story this morning. This is his call story. The biblical narrative is filled with cult stories of various people. God is always calling God's people. So the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon to share the good news. Gideon has been called, and God will go with the people of Israel as they go into battle, aptly displayed by the VeggieTales there before you. It could be that Gideon responds, "Wow, great God, I'm ready to go." But that wasn't what we heard this morning. Gideon responds with questions, with concerns, anxiety, and fear. Gideon says, "God, if you're with us, why did we suffer defeat? If you're with us, God, why have we known pain? If God was with the people of Israel, why are we in this one down position now?" Have you ever wanted to ask some of those questions of God? "God, if you were with me right now, why am I struggling so much?" Gideon asked these questions of the angel of the Lord, and God answers. God doesn't give Gideon the details that he asked for, but instead commissions him to deliver Israel from the Midians militarily. I think the switch from the voice of the angel of God to God, God's self, is very intentional. God validates his concerns and assures him with his very voice that God will be with him. Now, Gideon doesn't stop and say, "That's great. I've heard the voice of God. I'm ready to go." His questions continue. They continue from the why to the how are we going to do this? How is this going to work, this plan that you've laid out for me? I'm the smallest in my family. I'm the least. I don't have everything I need in order to fulfill your plans. The Lord reassures Gideon, I, God, will be with you. So we hear that Gideon begins to get on board with this, but he's not 100% sold by any means. Does this resonate with anyone? After the whys and the hows, he wants some proof. He wants a sign. "I've heard the voice of God, but how can I be sure that it was God? And not someone else. Not my own mind." He wants some proof. The angel of the Lord indulges Gideon, I love this, with fire to consume the sacrifice, and the voice of God offers comfort. "Peace be upon you, and do not fear, you won't die." As we read on in Judges, we find out that God is faithful, not just in the call, but in the midst of all of Gideon's profound and, quite frankly, crippling fear. Fear is not only a motivator in Gideon's story, but also in the parable that we heard this morning as well. Fear was the reason that the man with the one talent didn't invest, didn't seek return. Fear of anger and retribution. Fear of disappointment and despair. Fear that led him to make a choice that seemed safe, but ultimately had a condemning reaction. Fear is one of the themes throughout the biblical narrative. In fact, one of the most common phrases throughout the Bible is, "Do not be afraid." The angels of the Lord are always saying that in greetings to the people with whom they share messages. And God is saying it directly. Do not be afraid. Throughout 365 times, God says, do not be afraid. So why do you and I find ourselves with fear and anxiety? At the very least, we have a human reaction, that is to say, our bodies have stress. That's our response to threats, whether they're real or perceived by our mind. It's an example of our human body cooperating together in case that you and I would need to fight off an enemy or run from an adversary. There are biological and chemical mechanisms that govern our responses all the way back to primordial times. They helped our ancestors deal with predators and with other tribes, and without them, they would have been easy pickings. We don't have any saber-toothed tigers lurking around the corner that I know of. What our bodies respond, as if we did. The stress hormone in our bodies alerts, red alert, there's something wrong we need to be aware of. Now, in no way do I want to underplay the role that fear and anxiety have in many of our lives. In fact, I want to suggest it's more common than we realize. Not just common today, but common in the days of old. The scriptures are very clear that the people of the biblical narrative are terrified of God at times. They're terrified they will get hurt. They're terrified of some of the same phobias that you and I have. And I also want to note that some of us live with anxiety in a particular medical way, a biological response to the world around us. But I also want to suggest this morning that there is an antidote to fear. The antidote to fear is presence. We know this implicitly. This is why when our children wake up in the middle of the night frightened, we hold them near to us until they fall back asleep. When a friend is facing difficult test results, we pull up a chair alongside and we wait until they receive their results. When a family member is terrified of a threat, real or imagined, we join with them in their fears. When you and I feel like God is with us, we feel more equipped to handle the challenges that are before us. I hear all the time folks saying, I wish that was my experience. I wish I knew what it was like to feel like God was with me. I want the presence of God to be tangible, something I can touch, something I can hold, something I can feel. Like Gideon, we'd like to imagine that God's presence means the absence of challenge. God did not promise the absence of challenge or the absence of conflict, but like with Gideon, God's very presence in the middle of that conflict. God didn't answer Gideon with here's why and here's how and here's the plan of how it's all going to work out just fine. Instead, God offered presence and voice. God affirmed God's promises. And that's enough. I'll be with you. Yesterday, Melissa Jones and I were at the Planting Seeds for Ministry conference held at Hopewell United Methodist Church. There were a number of wonderful speakers, particularly related to reaching newer, younger, and more diverse people for Christ. The worship preacher, Reverend Nick Camacho, was sharing a message about God's heart for all people, inclusive particularly of race and ethnicity. Near the end of his message, he shared this very poignant question that I found myself pondering about what it means to be the church in a world that engages in the midst of fear and anxiety. In a strong Puerto Rican accent, Nick said this, "Will you be the shoulders of God when I need to cry because they make jokes about my accent? Will you be the shoulders of God when I need to cry because they make jokes about my accent?" How are you and I the presence of God for those who live in fear? How have others been the presence of God for us in the midst of our moments and seasons of fear? Georgia O'Keeffe, the 20th century painter, was known to say this, "I've been absolutely terrified every moment of my life, and I've never let it keep me from doing a single thing I wanted to do." In the midst of fear and anxiety, you and I, just like Gideon, are offered faith. We're offered the promise of God's presence. God not only promises to be with us, but offer us the presence of others so that we can see, we can hear, and we can lean on God's presence in the midst of our own fear and anxiety. So today, you and I, we have a choice. We can choose to live in a place of fear and anxiety, darkness and defeat. We know that world. We know what the outcome is there. Or we can choose to live in such a way, with such confidence, that we, you and I, are the children of God for whom God is with and who calls others to walk alongside us. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.